Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. I know it's January 20th. That's when we're posting this, but it feels like a new year, a new lifetime. We have a new president coming in. Now, I know if you're a Trump supporter or conservative, you may not be happy about this, but let's just get along for a little while, will ya? I think we all just need a break from going after each other. New president, so I'm posting this today specifically because of that. It's a really great conversation, which is also available video format on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. Oh, and please subscribe. Got a lot of cool stuff there. This is Pete Souza. He's the official White House photographer for President Obama and President Reagan, and just a really, really cool vantage point that he's had, a front row seat, as they say, to history. He's been the guy in the room when major, major history has been made by two presidents over 16 years. So enjoy this. I wish I had his job, if for no other reason, to just sit and make a president hold a smile way longer than he would want to, and then make him do it again and turn sideways and, you know, just to mess with him a little bit. Anyway, enjoy this. Here's to a good 4 years and, you know, everybody getting along a little bit. Very special guest this week. He was chief official White House photographer for President Obama and President Reagan. Pete Souza is promoting, has got a great book out, Shade. It's now in paperback, and a terrific documentary that I just watched called The Way I See It. And it's really great to have you on. And I really want to talk about the important work you've been doing. So congratulations and thank you for all your work you're doing right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
What I took away from the documentary is just sort of three big goals of yours or focus. One is, you know, to be a chronicler of history vis-a-vis the president through photography, show the president as a human being, and to show what has been the integrity of the office and how it's been tarnished. And I feel like you're a custodian or caretaker for the presidency, and it just happened organically. Do you feel that way? Because it comes across that way, but not in a in your face kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, while you're in the job, both during the Reagan administration and the Obama administration, your primary function is making these images for history, right? Because all the pictures end up at the National Archives, and it's a visual document for history. And then to take that turn at the end of the Obama administration, where, you know, I kind of became a critic of what was happening today, mostly because I had seen the way these two presidents from two different political parties behaved as human beings in the Oval Office. And to watch the way that Trump, you know, disrespects the Oval Office, disrespects the office of the presidency, is not a decent person, has no empathy or compassion for his fellow Americans, was like a punch in the gut to me. And I felt that I couldn't just, you know, sit by and do nothing. And I thought I could, you know, come at this from a unique perspective and the comparison with my photographs, I think touch people in a visceral way compared to what's happening today.
Well, yeah, you know, Ben Rhodes, and it says that there's two Americas. There's the one of empathy and compassion as represented by Obama in those photos. And then there's the Trump America, which is the opposite. And then there's that amazing picture of Trump coming in, and it's literally like central casting. It's all really rich people reaching out to him. And then there's a shot of Obama with, you know, indigent people. And and you talk about the impact of images and how strong they are. And you say about Trump, you say what Trump is doing is not normal, but dangerous. There's a serious job to be president, and I'm going to do everything I can to let people know that. And I'm wondering, do you feel like we can get this back? Part of my concern is there are people who've seen how this president behaves, and they're waiting in the wings to get their moment of fame by doing the same thing. Like I said, you're a caretaker custodian for the presidency. Can we get it back though? Or has it been tarnished forever by this guy?
Well, I will say, when I said that, it was actually before COVID hit. But I felt that strongly even beforehand, because it was clear that he was doing damage to the country and damage around the world. I mean, we're now the laughingstock around the world.
Yeah.
I traveled a lot, before COVID hit around the world, and everywhere you go, people are like, what's going on with the United States? I mean, how did you guys elected this?
My brother.
To delve into your question, can we get that back? I hope so. I mean, I think that what happens next Tuesday will be an important part of that, because if Trump is reelected, then I think our democracy is in danger, to be quite honest with you.
I agree.
And I think that, not only do I hope that Joe Biden wins, but I hope he wins convincingly. And then if he wins convincingly and a lot of the Republican senators lose their election, then I think there's a possibility that you'll start to see government work the way it was supposed to, where there's this push and pull between the two parties, but in the end they get things done that are good for the American people.
Yeah.
And I think that, instead of being obstructionists, maybe the Republicans will be partners with trying to fix the things that need to be fixed in our country. Let's hope. I mean,
I think there is hope in that sense. I mean, George Will came out and said, a conservative tried and true, he's voting for Biden just to get things back on equilibrium so that we can start to discuss and debate the issues and policy again and not live in this bizarre world we're living in. And my wife is a big believer that things happen for a reason. We watched the documentary together. And what I took away from the documentary is, you're a photojournalist, you're a historian, you're a chronicler of history, okay? But I think all of your work exists and what you've done in your life exists because the country needs you right now. Everybody needs to see the documentary, because what it does is it does give you a sense of hope and empathy, remind you, oh, there was just this amazing person in the White House. Because I think what Trump, his behavior of 3.5 or 5 years now, including the primary, has almost normalized it. So we've become, oh yeah, it's just him being crazy again, And your film and your work is like a raft on the ocean in a hurricane for somebody like me, because you go, oh wait, I've been just living and accepting that this horrible human being is the way things are and it doesn't have to be like this. I think your work exists because the gods or whatever said, we need this guy at this time in 2020. And I really feel strongly about that.
Well, we do become numb to his antics every day, and it's dominating our lives. I mean, it's dominating our conversation, which is probably what he wants, that people are talking about him, even though, at least most people I know are talking about him in a negative way. I had dinner with social distance dinner with some friends outside a couple months ago. And, inevitably the conversation turns to what's the latest, antic. And I said to my friends, I said, let's do this dinner a year from now and hope that we don't even talk about what Joe Biden's doing, because we know he's got it under control.
Yeah.
And and he's not doing things to harm us.
Right.
And that's just the way I feel. And I felt that, to step out and be and away from my role as a, historian or photojournalist and become opinionated, I felt like I had no choice to do what I've been doing, especially on Instagram, but also with this film. I had no choice. I mean, I had to shout in my own visual way, hey people, this ain't right.
Yeah, and that comes through in the film. And and sort of that hesitancy, you know, there's a lot of people that want to use the environment for their own celebrity or to create their own celebrity. That never comes through with you. It really comes through like, I've been on the inside of this office for two administrations. I'm telling you, this is not good for the country, and you need to know this. You're an activist in my mind, and you talk about that room, the way things that happen in that room, can't have a guy like this, Trump. You need a guy like Obama. You mentioned that a couple of times in the film. What happens in that room that we don't know, in a general sense, that makes you feel that way?
Well, it's, I mean, I think back to the meetings that he would have, no matter what the topic, whether it was on healthcare or gun control or Afghanistan or whatever. And there's thoughtful discussion taking place based on facts and evidence. And in the case of like Ebola or H1N1, based on science. And the decisions were made surrounding those facts, that evidence, that science. Right. Whereas now decisions are being made at the whim of, you know, a reality TV star, basically,
right,
who is failed at everything that he's ever done. Except, you know, his TV show was successful, which I might add that it's a reality TV show, which means it's not really reality. You know, right. it's a TV show, you know, right. And people think that was, you know, somehow real. It's not. The presidency is real. And he still doesn't get that. And he's still not even like trying to do the work. You know, so I watched President Obama, you know, agonize over some decisions, because any decision that reached the president's desk by its very nature most likely doesn't have really good options, right, in terms of what decision you make. And he, you know, you can disagree with some of the decisions he made, and that's fair criticism, but they weren't made for the wrong reasons. They were made based on what he took in, right, and what he thought was the, you know, the best way to help us all, as sometimes in the long run, and where short term he would get hurt politically, but, you know, in the long run, he knew he had to do the right thing. And we just do not see that kind of thought process today, which is just, you know, just really hard.
Yeah. There are so many great moments. I don't want to give too much away, but the section on the LGBT ruling, the little Alex, the little boy at the end, and just that observation that you make in comparison to Trump, I'm not going to talk about it here because I want people to see it. Like, there were a couple of places where my wife and I were in tears. And that's what I meant where I say, like, this is really... You're here for a reason, and God put you here for a reason to do what you do in the larger scheme of things. Yes, to chronicle history, but we need this right now. People need to see the book, and your Instagram I love because it's subtle, sophisticated commentary. It's not over the head, but it's so powerful. But the film, people need to see it. And I'm also fascinated by how you do what you do. And on the technical side, you know, there was that moment where the little boy touches President Obama's hair and you said, boom, you got one shot and you got it. Nobody can be that physically quick. So I think to be so good at what you do, you have to be a good reader of people. You have to have instinct. I know you talk about having intuition, but you need to get a sense like, I think this is about to happen, so I better be ready. I think that's the most critical part of your skill set. Am I right about that? And has that developed over time? Is that something you learn?
Yeah, I think it developed over time. I mean, I think that's always been the kind of photographer I've been, which is trying to capture that, you know, decisive moment, if you will, and where you either get it or you don't. And there. It's a lot of it is intuition and anticipation, and being ready for it all the time. And as I say, sometimes you're a little off on capturing that exact moment. But I think that's something I became better at over my career, and it also helped to when you're spending all day every day with the same person, Barack Obama, you learn his sort of, his interactions. You could almost not predict, but you could almost anticipate what might happen, and just being ready for me, it's always about trying to show the way he interacted with other people, whether it was that little boy, touching his head, or whether it was, Vladimir Putin interacting with him, or what, just those interactions, the human interaction. If I'm ready for those and I make it compose it in an interesting way, I think it really shows what he is like, what Barack Obama was like as a human being, just on a human level.
And it seems
so that was something I was always striving to do.
And it comes through in all the pictures. And you say in the film, it's important. That's important to you because you want us to see these people, this person, as really no different from us, right? And also, Mr. Wheeler makes the point of we're so quick to demonize these people, these politicians. Be careful. It's such an amazing point he makes. Is be careful because you might get the president that you think you want. And I think that comes through. How did you know that you wanted to always show these people as human beings? Is this just as an artist over time it became important to you? Because I look at you not just as a photojournalist, but as an artist. And I'm curious as to, you're absolutely right, we need to see these people as human beings, but how did you know that we needed to see that?
I don't know. It's kind of like what I've done throughout my career, whether I was starting out, I started out working at newspapers and then I worked in the Reagan White House and I was a freelancer for a while working at National Geographic and some other places. And I think any photographer over the course of their career, grows as a artist or as a journalist. And I always tell people, like, I don't think I'm the best photographer in the world, but I think I was the best photographer to document the Obama administration, just giving the experience that I had throughout my career, knowing I had known Barack Obama for 4 years before he became president. So I had this professional relationship already established with him. I knew how to work at the White House. I was not intimidated by powerful people. And so I could focus in on what's happening in the room, what's happening with these, I call them little moments, these little moments that happen between him and other people.
Yeah.
And I felt that I was the best person to do that, that I was, confident. I felt comfortable in that job. And I had a subject, Barack Obama, who understood the value of having somebody provide this documentation, visual documentation of his presidency for all my pictures are at the National Archives now. So this is really for history.
Yeah.
The pictures that I made.
Before you took the job, you told Gibbs, I need to have real access. And they said, that's not a problem. Whether it's the president or other work you've done, how do you get close to a subject? Do you have to work at that sometimes to create that relationship? Would you and Obama, you clearly had a rapport because there are these moments and, like when you're having trouble with your camera lens or whatever, and he's busting your chops a little bit. Like, did you have sort of an off camera outside of work, not hang out outside of work, but, sort of were you in a relationship with him when you weren't taking pictures? And how do you get close to a subject who maybe might be a little hesitant at first?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of done that throughout my career. Even like, you know, if I'm working at a newspaper and I'm doing a long-term project on, you know, an individual or on a family, you've got to learn how to make them feel comfortable. And it's, again, there's not like, here are the three steps on how you do that. It's just, right. You know, A, you got to be yourself, and you know, you got to put in the time to develop the kind of relationship that allows you to be there when things are happening.
Right.
And certainly that was the case with, you know, Barack Obama, you know, and think about it from his perspective where, you tell this guy he can have access, but then all of a sudden you've got this guy around you all day long, every day, you know, taking pictures. That there's a certain adjustment to get used to that.
Yeah.
And I think I call myself a seasoned photojournalist. I sort of, you know, was obviously aware of that and, you know, tried to do my job in such a way that I wasn't like a nuisance to what was happening play out.
Right.
And, you know, again, that's just something that I think experience and intuition helped me at.
We're just going to wrap up, but just one more thing. You talk about at BU, you took a course in photography. I mean, you love sports and you just fell in love. You know, you're in the dark room and you're seeing this image come to life. Do you think you would have reacted that way to photography if you were a kid now in college where it's all instant digital and you don't see the magic of that happening in front of you?
You know, that's a really good question. It's funny. I do my own prints at home now, just on a digital printer, but, you know, high-end digital printer. I make, and I still get that feeling when the print comes out of the printer, right. Even though it's not, you know, you're not doing the chemicals and you're not in the dark, there's still something so special about seeing an image on paper as opposed to just on your computer screen.
Yeah.
And you know, and so I hope to think that I would, but you know, I don't know. I have to tell you a funny story, and that is, you know, my class at Boston University, you know, there were maybe like, I don't know, 25 or 30 of us in the same three photo classes. And I got an email from one of the students that was in that class with me. And she sent me a note saying, you know, congratulations. I don't really remember you from the class. and which showed you that I was like, I did not like set the world on fire when I was starting out. And I say that to young people that it's not everybody like, you know, hits pay dirt right away. I mean, I think I put in a lot of work for a number of years and I got better over time, but starting out, I wasn't that good, but I was still just totally bitten by photography, even though, you know, at least to this one classmate of mine, I was unforgettable.
Well, I could argue you were practicing your trade early on. You were just a fly in the wall in class, right? Just like that you were going to be a photographer. But well, the passion that you have for it comes through. And that's the empathy and compassion is the theme that I take away from your work and what you're trying to tell in the book and in the movie. The movie is amazing. The documentary, it's funny. It's moving. You learn some technical things about how you do your job. It's a complete piece of work and everybody needs to see it. It's an important thing. As I mentioned, I'm repeating myself because I felt better after watching it. I'm like, oh, okay. If we can just get through this nonsense and get out of this year, there's hope again. And that film is giving us that hope and people need to see it. It's on Peacock and on demand everywhere the way I see it. And the book is Shade and paperback. And if I get back to Madison with my son, when he goes back to school, maybe we'll grab a drink or something and meet in person. It'd be a real honor to meet you.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. Pete Souza. Really, really cool job. And hope you enjoyed that. Hope we have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget YouTube channel, youtube.com/Paul McCurio. Got a bunch of videos there, including this interview available on video if you want to check it out and see, you know, how clean shaven I was for this interview and frankly, how handsome, I got to be honest with you. All right. See you next week, everybody.